of the series The Way We Were. And what we're doing here is we're just taking a look back. We were trying to learn from the history of this movement. And it really was a movement, a work of God in the United States during the 70s and 80s, a lot during the 70s, when there was just, you know, this Jesus movement was happening. And out of that, and in the midst of that, the Great Commission churches rose up. And during those times, yeah, in our youthful enthusiasm, we did a lot of things wrong. But we did a lot of things right, too. And we want to take a look at the things that we did right that made this from just a little flash in the pan to a movement that lasted, or a church movement that lasted 50 years, you know? And so that's what we're taking a look at, is what did we do right? Well, if you guys recall, when we were going through the book of Romans, we ended with a list of people that Paul commends. There's all sorts of people. It's just interesting to see the names of different individuals. It's like, wow. And he would say, I commend these people. I entrust these people. He'd say, listen to these people. Follow these people. They're good people. They're God's people. Well, guess what? We have a situation like that right now. We're going to have Mike and Becky McGregor, who would fit in that category. If I was to write a book, I would have a list of commendations, and they would be in that list. Now, I remember the first time I even knew that Mike McGregor existed was when I was living with a group of guys. We had a household of guys, and one of them had this really bad tooth issue. And Mike was a dentist, oral surgeon. I don't know, he'll clarify the proper title. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this conversation, somebody started mentioning Mike McGregor, that, oh, you got to go to see him. He's like in Ankeny, and he is like the best. And guess what? He's a believer. And we went, oh, are you kidding me? Like, and that's it, we're going, you know. So Dave Sorensen, he ended up going there, and that's how I even knew about these guys. And then all of a sudden, years, many of a year, we're talking a lot of years later, we're here doing church, and they show up, and boom, every summer they're with us, and we're with them, and it's a delight. So they, before I got involved with the Great Commission churches, they had a time, a season of their life where they were imprinted by some of the values and some of the things that they were doing right. And so we're going to open up the mic to these two and let them share their side, their perspective of the Great Commission churches at that time. So with that introduction, we're starting with Becky first. Becky, come on down and share your heart with us.
Well, it's a very big honor to be asked to talk to all of you. We have been coming for probably 5 years to your church in the summer because we discovered, well, my husband discovered fly fishing in the Decorah area. We've always lived in Polk County, but we always thought this place was kind of like Narnia, if you've read C.S. Lewis, and it still is compared to Polk County. I mean, there's a lot going on there. But so we've been watching you, and we found you online, and we knew the Hibbings way back. They were good friends. We had been in ISU Bible study together, and we thought, well, Bob Hibbing has a church here. Oh, my goodness. Let's visit that church. And so the minute we did, we thought, well, we're done looking for churches in Decorah because this is it. It brings us back to our roots. But we've been kind of watching all of you from afar. I mean, we don't know a lot of you real personally, but we have. I just want to commend you how over even 5 years' time we see the same faces, and we've seen you, that you're growing. You're growing in your faith, and you have the fire that we just sense and recognize that ISU Bible study had, and that just thrills us. We I'll let you do a little math here. I was 20 years old when I went to ISU Bible study, and that was like 50 years ago. So you can figure out how old we are, how long we've been around. But we had gotten saved, not at ISU Bible study, but through the prayers of my parents, who were, they're saints in heaven now, but they were in the Gideons. They prayed and prayed for us. We were adolescents in the 1960s in high school. And I want to tell you, a lot of the same things that are happening now in America were happening then. There were riots. There was fear. There was disruption. We had the Vietnam War. We had the draft to the Vietnam War, which raised many, many protests. When I went to Iowa State, while I was a student there, we had a big march to protest the Vietnam War. And the campus was a mess. So I graduated, got a job teaching elementary school in Council Bluffs, and then met my husband. And we moved back to Huxley, and he started a dental practice there. And that was the same year that we got saved. But we were looking around for, okay, where do we fellowship? And I had gotten a job at the Mary Greeley Hospital in Ames, and there was this girl. I worked in the lab part. I was a transcriptionist. And this girl that I worked with was always reading her Bible at lunchtime, and she was talking about going to conferences and this ISU Bible study thing that she went to. And so I finally asked her, okay, what is this? What are you doing? And she told me about their meetings. They were meeting at the Memorial Union. And I told Mike, I said, I think we need to check this out. I mean, it sounds way different than the little Methodist church down the street we'd been trying to go to. So we walked in on a Friday night to the Memorial Union, and I've never seen anything quite like it. It was like, there were probably close to 300 people there. They were belting out music like they really wanted to sing, you know, instead of the organ music and people dragging or just not even singing. And there was a trumpet playing, "I'll hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall." And all 300 were just like, wow, and just sent chills down you. And then we heard a message on, the man was teaching verse by verse through the book of Genesis. Well, I thought, well, I've never heard this before either. And so we got really hungry. We thought, okay, we're going to start going here. We're going to learn. They got something going on that I've never seen before. So we were involved with ISU Bible study for probably 2 years. We had a lot of wonderful events. They did their blitz summers where we would get on yellow school buses in the summer and go to parks and use this four spiritual law. And this was like cold calling. You know, you'd walk up to somebody and it says, "Have you ever heard of this four spiritual laws?" And people actually were responding back then. And I remember we would pray, "Lord, could I just have the opportunity to see someone get saved?" And we did. We saw people that were open, and it was just an amazing time. And as he said, it was what I wanted to give you this connection is, okay, this was after all this lawlessness, upheaval in our country, and then soon after it, in the 70s, God poured out a revival. We got to see it. We didn't call it that at the time. We just saw our little section of it. But when I've read then since histories of revivals, and we've had many through the history of America. And there was the Great Awakening before the Revolutionary War. There was another great revival before the Civil War. And then there's been this revival. It was kind of like the Jesus movement. There were lots of people my age that were on drugs, we were discouraged because what's the meaning of life? Well, God really hit that group of young people, and there was on the West Coast, there were the Jesus freaks. There was the Calvary Church movement. There were Curcios held in a lot of the mainline churches. People came out of there. There were just massive numbers of people turning to the Lord during that time. And I think, hey, people, God's setting it up again. And this is your chance. I think it's going to happen. There's so much discouragement. we know violence doesn't really go anywhere, and it's really rampant. I have stories I could tell you about our neighbor in Ankeny, a policeman, what he's gone through the past week. It's just incredible. In Des Moines, Iowa. But it's people driving in with license plates from other places. It's agitators. It's a horrible thing that's going on. But we know, like you say, God is bigger. He has a bigger plan. And the exciting part is we get to be part of it. So anyway, and just to see you young men, that's another thing about the ISU Bible study, and every church we've been in since believes in a strongly in the order that God gave. I'm a woman. I believe in feminine rights, but I do not believe the way it's gone with the liberal thinkers. I think we need strong male leadership in our churches, and the women follow that. And we need strong families, and we need this taught, and we need young men. Young men, all the people my age are getting, you know, we're 70 plus. It's time for the young men to come up, step up to the plate. And my dad was quite a Christian. We had his funeral, and one of the songs he loved was "Rise Up, O Men of God." And I went, we found a recording of West Point. They have a choir at West Point of all men. And so we had that played at his funeral. That gave you chills too, but I want to read you those words. "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the kingdom tarries long. Proclaim the gospel to the world and turn your grief to song. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." And I challenge you, young men, do it. It takes guts. It takes courage. When we, after graduating from Iowa State, and we went back to, and I had never seen anything like what ISU Bible study, how they were influencing the campus when I was on the campus as a student. But this Jim McCotter, that you have talked about him, I thought, man, that guy has such guts. I mean, he was on the steps of Beardshire Hall one day and gathering a crowd, and he was talking about why Jesus. Why is Jesus the answer psychologically? Why is Jesus the answer sociologically? Why is Jesus the answer for the world? And we need those answers. Everybody's looking for answers. What is life all about? What is all this lawlessness and why Jesus? We have those answers. So I challenge every young man here, down to that little boy over there, to perk up and listen and hang on to the truth and give your life to this, because this is the only really worthy cause we have in this world, is to give your life to Jesus. Then I wanted to talk a little bit about the powerful music, and my husband's going to share more about that. But I don't know if you have this book. This was the Ames Fellowship Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. And at this time of these 300 people going, of course, a lot of them were music majors or whatever, but people were writing songs, and they weren't writing it to get rich. Like, I don't know, I don't want to, but like so many of the Christian music that is made today, is to get rich, you know, play it on the radio and make millions of dollars. Well, none of this was done this way. These were written for God, don't you think? I mean, and it was so much, there's two or three pages of just scriptures. And I'm sorry, but it's just chords. So you have to kind of remember the melody that people sang to. But this was the most holy, to me, this was a picture of heaven, how it's going to be. And I pray that you will be able to experience these kind of gatherings and these little glimmers of what heaven's going to be, because it lifts you to a completely different realm. We had, the men would sing parts, the women would sing parts. It was scripture. We would sing for hours and not even realize it had been hours. And it draws people. It is heaven. Music is a wonderful gift from the Lord. So anyway, another spurring factor back then was that the Lord's coming back. You know, he's coming back soon. He's coming like the thief in the night. It could be today. Well, then here I am 50 years later. It hasn't happened yet. But then I also want to say, wake up, people. That's just 50 years closer to it really happening. It's going to happen. And he tells us it's going to happen when all the Gentiles have heard the gospel. This is the task he's given us. And that's why we were called the Great Commission Church, that he's not coming until everyone has had a chance, everyone in the world, to hear the gospel. And the Jewish people had been given this task before Jesus came. They were to be a light to the Gentiles, but they did not do that task. And that was part of why the judgment came up. They were judged by the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. They were scattered. And then it became the age of the church. And it's now our opportunity to reach people. I mean, it has to be part of what we are trained to do, what we pray to do. It has to be done in the Holy Spirit. But this is, we get to be part of it. That's the exciting thing. So I wanted to read just this one little verse from 2 Peter, and then my husband gets to talk. But the coming of the day of the Lord, first of all, know without any doubt that mockers will come in the last days with their mocking, following after their own human desires, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? What has become of it? For ever since the fathers fell asleep in death, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. For they willingly forget the fact that the heavens existed long ago by the word of God, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed by being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord does not delay, as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So God has his time. He says he's coming as a thief in the night, and we are to be alert and ready. It might be today. So anyway, I'm just so excited to know all of you. And my husband is officially, I think, retiring this year. So we plan to live in Narnia here in the summers. And then we have relatives in Texas. We will be in Texas in the winter. So that's our plan. But we just feel so blessed to be part of this movement and to get to know you and to find a church that was the Great Commission Church here in Decorah. So thank you.
That's a tough act to follow, I thought. What can I say? Good job, Becky. And we're one flesh. I mean, that's why I thought it'd be important. In any event, what? Speak louder? Is that louder? Okay, maybe I was just too far away. I want to give you something that I'm going to tell you about a mystery. Something that really, really impacted me. And it occurred in the late 1970s. And we were scheduled to go off on a retreat over into Cedar Falls. And Cedar Falls, Riverside Bible Camp or something like that. I don't remember. And it was a wooden structure. And it held about 150 people. And there was 200 in there. So it was pretty tight, right? And something happened there that really was kind of a glimmer. And it's taken me a long time to process this and figure out what it was. Let me read something out of Revelation, if I could. Okay, this is in Revelation 19:5. And this is right, right after the great destruction of Babylon. And it said, and they're rejoicing over the fact that Babylon has been destroyed. This is the end game. Remember, they always talk about if you're going to build something, you start with the end game. This is what where you're going, and this is where we're going. And it said, then a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you bond servants, which is what we are, and you who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard something like this, the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God reigns. And it took me a long time to put it all together, exactly what happened. Because here we were going into this real small building, and we were going to have a speaker. I think it was Jim McCotter, but I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it was him. And somebody started out, and the Holy Spirit was there. I even get goose pimples now talking to you about it. I mean, that was 50 years ago. And what happened was one person would start a song, and everybody would sing. And there are people singing in parts. And you ladies, oh my, when you sing together in harmony, it can melt stone. It's just one. We men were, you know what I'm talking about. But you ladies, wow. And anyway, we sing in parts. The men would start out, and the women, sometimes they'd echo, sometimes they had their verse of their own. But it was just unbelievable. And I kind of feel sorry for Jim McCotter, because started out, and I think he was supposed to speak at 3 or 4 or something like that. Well, you've all heard that God is out of time. I mean, he is not in the dimension that we are. He's out of time. He's infinite. So in a sense, he's really out of time. He's not present in time. Well, he is present in time, but he's beyond us. In any event, we started singing, and it was light outside, and all these parts were going, and it was just beautiful. And it just reverberated around this building. I'm sure the building was going like this. It was so beautiful. And Jim McCotter never got to talk. Not one word. Because the singing went on, I think, from about 1:30 or 2 to 8 o'clock at night. That's what happened. It was a time war. All of a sudden we started singing, and the next thing we knew, it was 8 o'clock at night. That's the end game. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be praising God just like that. And it's going to be beautiful. And, you think about, well, I'm going to praise God all day long. That'd be kind of boring. I'm telling you, it's not boring. It's beautiful. And if we could keep that idea in mind, the end game, there's the end game. That's where we're going. We're going to be the bride of Christ. And it's going to be a great honor. And I hope and I pray that we all can someday experience all that. I just love to have you guys see what that's like. Because it took me years to figure out what it was. I'm still not sure I got it all, but I got most of it. Well, thank you very much.
There actually was a moment. Was probably 1985. I got saved in 84. And that ISU Bible study that Becky talked about, then they changed the name to Friday Night Alive. And it was what I would do every Friday night. And I remember one time when they were making these camcorders, they're really big, and put these VHSs in them and carry them out. And I found out that I could rent them. And so there was several times when I would rent a camcorder, put a VHS in it, and go to Friday Night Alive and videotape what was going on. It, this is how you carried them. Not, I don't have like a twitch. Anyway, I posted two of them on YouTube. They're still there to this day. I think that if you were to search FNA, Friday Night Alive, FNA, Iowa State, you know, Christians, something like that. If you did that, you'll most likely find them, or I could even post them on our church Facebook page so you could watch them. And you get a small taste. It's very small taste. But we had about maybe 250 people at that time. And so there was still a lot of the echoing and, you know, and the women had their verses that they would sing. And we still had some of that going on. But I think that if you watch that, you at least get a little bit of a picture of what Mike and Becky are talking about. It really is a beautiful thing. And I've never had anything like it. And we're working on it. We've got a ways to go. That's your end game there, Luke. See how you do with that. Wow. But it would be great to just, I mean, really, it isn't so much about, you know, the music and the how they wrote it and the chords. And it was about the hearts of the people, was it not? It was our hearts. We were genuinely, legitimately in love with Jesus. I mean, we loved God. I remember asking my roommate a few weeks after I got saved, I said, man, Bob, I wake up every morning and I'm thinking about God instantly. Does that happen to you? What's happening to me? I'm thinking about God all the time. We loved him so much that it came up and out in the music. And it was infectious, rapturous even. And so that's a beautiful slice of those days that can be repeated. In these days, it's not like they had some sort of secret formula. Same love for God. You know, if you want to write something new from the scripture or pull out some of the old scripture songs, we can repeat this. We could do this again. It is one of the hopes that Bob and I have in even sharing these stories is that we could pick up the baton. The baton had gotten fallen to the track. We need to pick it up and start running. Run in such a way as to win. And so that is one of our hopes from this whole series. So thank you guys so much for what you shared. All right. So guys, I'm just going to introduce our offering. We'll take the offering and then in a minute or so, we'll have the announcements and that will be it for this morning. So an offering, guys, hey, you know, talking about love for God manifests itself in many different ways. And this is one of the ways. I remember still, I'm always amazed. I've shared this before, but it's the whole Jesus dichotomy, this tension. You'll either love God or money. And it's like, really? Is it comes down to that? Is it just like, it's either God or money, people? It's like, really? Can't there be like a third alternative? You know, no, it's either God or money. It really, or the things that money can buy, the comfort, the entertainment, you know, whatever it might be, the bells and the whistles, the things that go bling and shine bright. It's either going to be God or money. That is the great tension in our hearts and in our lives. And so every Sunday morning, you know, this is an opportunity to worship. To say, God, I love you more than my money. And to joyfully, willingly give the 10% or whatever amount the Lord puts on your heart. This is that time. This is your time. So let's pray. And why don't you, Peter, just go ahead and play music for like half a minute. And then Yeah, half a minute. And then Josh can come up. Lord Jesus, we do love you. And we are in awe of the stories that Mike and Becky shared. And he's like, is that for real? Or that was just for them. But could it be for now as well? Could it be again? Could it happen here in Narnia? Could it happen? Lord, I pray you'd stir our hearts. I pray you'd stir our souls. If you are setting up America, maybe even the world, for a grand revival, then may we be a big part of that. Maybe may we even be a spark for that. That is our prayer, Lord. Use our lives, use our gifts, our offerings to your glory, for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, first of all, just want to thank, McGregor, is it McGregor's for coming. It's been a blast. Thanks for sharing. It's been great. Next week will be Tim sharing his message on our next part of the series, The Way We Were, and our passionate love for one another. So announcements, for Sunday mornings, we are no longer to meet at the VFW due to they're going to start Sunday morning breakfast. So we're planning to meet at the Elks Lodge for the next two Sundays and just next 2 weeks. So the next, so be praying for a more permanent place to stay as well. So that'd be good. So by the time fall hits, that we'd have a spot where we could go just permanently. We are live streaming every church service on Twitch. So if you're not able to make it, just go to Twitch.com/Lifehouse Church, Twitch.tv/Lifehouse, and you'll find it. Ohana now meets every other Saturday. We met yesterday's. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty bad, but so next one's still the 25th. Okay, so next one is July 25th at the East Park. Pray for a permanent place for this satellite church to meet as well. And pick up baseball, pray for July 26th to work out. We've been playing baseball for weeks and trying to, and with all this rain and stuff, like, it just hasn't, and scheduling conflicts. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But, we're praying that they'd be able to play with us on July 26th, so pray for that to work. And then, polling location volunteers, they are looking for, well, it's a little early, but still looking for volunteers to manage polling locations. So if you'd like to volunteer, sign up at pollworker.iowa.gov. So that is all I have. Is there anything else? No, then God bless your day, week, and your life.